You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, AJ Andrews of JaysFromTheCouch.com, and I'm not going to lie. For a second there, I thought this was going to be another angry episode. That game tonight against Boston that they won 6-3, it looked like things were just slowly trending away from them. And it would have been very Toronto in this season that has seen them get off to a very sluggish start to just slowly lose that game and not be able to defend their lead. But they did. They got 2 runs in the ninth off Josh Taylor. And that gave them the cushion they needed to come away with a 6-3 victory. And I'm going to talk about the offense and the pitching that we had in this game. And I have to mention the defense, because every time Kevin Biggio makes a throw, I don't know how many times it's going to bounce. And that fills me with existential dread. So we'll mention that. And then I'll mention probably the key factor in everything from this game. But let's start with the batters, because the batters showed up. For once, they got 6 runs. I said last night they had to jump on Garrett Richards, who has been struggling early in 2021. And they did jump on Garrett Richards. Granted, Garrett Richards helped them out a lot. He only lasted 4 2/3 because he walked 6 batters in that time. Through 92 pitches, only 48 of them were for strikes. That is not a good ratio for any pitcher. And the Blue Jays were able to capitalize on that, even if they couldn't get hits. You know, it was Lourdes Gurriel, who's struggling, but managing to get a fly ball deep enough to score a run. It's Kevin Biggio, who's struggling, able to get a ground ball with the runners going and extend that play long enough for Josh Palacios to score and move Danny Jansen into a position to score. And shout out to Danny Jansen for actually being in a position to score. It's Alejandro Kirk coming up with a single when he needed it. Granted, Alex Verdugo booted the hell out of it, but it was a hit. It was something tangible. And it wasn't just Bo Bichette carrying this offense. It wasn't just Vladdy carrying this offense. They got contributions down the lineup. Like I said, those productive at-bats that aren't just strikeouts. Where, like I say, you get a ground ball to move the runners. You get a fly ball to score a run. And, you know, props to Marcus Semien for having a good day today. He went 2-for-4. You know, no extra base hits, but he just needs to hit. He needs to, like, find his stroke again, get on base. So tonight was a good start for that. And just, again, being able to move the chains. I was worried when watching this game that, again, it was going to be the Blue Jays having a big inning and then having nothing else for the rest of the game. And, you know, after Richards left, I was worried that they weren't going to do anything against that Red Sox bullpen. I mean, when I did my crossover episode with Gabriel Starr of Locked On Red Sox, I asked about Hirokazu Sawamura, and I saw Hirokazu Sawamura, and he was, you know, kind of deadly against Toronto. Like, I know they brought him out in the fifth inning. I don't think he's going to be a fifth inning guy for too much longer. But yeah, they needed for themselves just the ability to, you know, tack on something, have some level of insurance, especially the way that game was creeping away. And again, I'm going to talk about the pitching in the next segment. But you could see the dread on people's faces, on people's timelines on Twitter after Xander Bogaerts hit that home run off Rafael Dolis. And after Kevin Biggio skipped away a ball. Like, one of the worst throws I've seen. And I play third base. I know it's a difficult throw. I usually skip it because I don't really have the arm strength to make the throw from third. But, like, you gotta, if you have time, you gotta be able to make that play. I mean, like it wasn't even a guy who was moving very fast. It was Marwin Gonzalez. And it put runners on second and third. Granted, Kevin made up for it by actually making the throw on the Bobby Dalbec grounder. That was actually a more difficult throw. And again, he's lucky, you know, he got bailed out with the offense in the top of the inning, especially since he struck out to start that inning. But, you know, the Blue Jays were able to create enough. They were able to chain enough hits and walks together to get those runs across. And that's what they have to do more. It can't just be solo shots. I'm actually thrilled that they did not hit a home run tonight, because it proves they can win without it. It proves they don't need to just go for broke on every swing. It's a change in approach that I was asking for, and I got a little bit of it tonight. I need to see more. Obviously, one game does not change my opinion. I have 17 other games to go on. But it's something. And I needed to see something. That losing streak sucked. So, I'm glad they at least gave me that. One thing I can give you is another recommendation to get you some Built Bars, because of course, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Why wouldn't I give that recommendation? Comes in 18 amazing flavors, including caramel brownie, apple almond crisp. I had one today. It's so freaking good. Like, I'm a sucker for apples anyway, but the apple almond crisp is just, oh my god, it's delicious. If you don't like apples, they have, like, mint brownie and double chocolate and toffee almond. So many flavors, all coated in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, they melt in your mouth, and they help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat that's low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and fiber. And if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bars. So use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com and get you some delicious treats in your mailbox. All right, this pitching heavy segment is brought to you by the Locked On NFL Draft coverage. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft from April 29th to May 1st. So the pitching. You know, hardly a high draft selection in the bunch for the Blue Jays. I actually don't believe there was a first-round pick used tonight. But the Blue Jays trotted out 7 different pitchers in this bullpen day. because they don't really have any starters remaining, because a lot of them are already on the IL. But the pitchers they had out there went out and did what they kind of needed to do. Trent Thornton started it off. And I've been saying that, you know, Thornton is actually one of the guys I'd like to see stretched out again and given a chance to be a starter. And Trent seems to think so as well. He said he could have gone another couple innings tonight. And I believe him the way he pitched, because he was on it. Two innings, gave up two hits on 25 pitches. 18 of them were thrown for strikes. You can't ask for much more than him being able to do that. Now, it's been speculated that Charlie Montoyo thinks Thornton is a one-through-the-order guy. So maybe that was the plan. But the fifth-round pick for out of North Carolina got things started. He did what was necessary there. And then Tommy Malone showed up. Because that's what Tommy Malone does. He just shows up. Was all right. 2 1/3 innings pitched. Struck out 4. But gave up a couple runs. Because when the Red Sox were able to hone in on him a little bit, they were able to knock him around. Marwin Gonzalez had a double off him. JD Martinez had a double off him. It was Martinez's double that led him to scoring on a Rafael Devers ground out. And then David Phelps came in, gave up a double to Kike Hernandez. That scored Gonzalez. But Malone's just there to eat innings. And that's what the 10th round pick out of USC in 2008 did. And then, you know, David Phelps was called on in a high leverage situation. Again, he gave up that double, which annoying, and cut it to 4-2. But he was able to work his way out of it. He struck out Alex Verdugo. And man, Alex Verdugo had such a terrible game. I was happy to see that. Walked JD Martinez. I totally understand that. And then got the ground out from Xander Bogaerts to end a threat. So, a good performance by the 14th round pick out of Notre Dame in 2008. Same draft as Tommy Malone. That's weird. Well, not really. I mean, there are only so many drafts. Then, probably the biggest performance of the night. I'd say it's a tie between Thornton and Ryan Borucki. But Borucki came out and, you know, came through with some big, big innings. Some big at-bats. Again, he also gave up a double to Marwin Gonzalez, but, you know, was able to get the ground balls he needed. That double play that he got Verdugo to ground into was textbook. And, you know, really made things a lot easier for the Blue Jays when it came to that bullpen management, because it meant Rafael Dolis would come out with a clean set of bases. Always handy, but yeah, that's the kind of spot that a guy like Borucki was made for, to go two innings. I don't know how much longer they would want him to go, given how comfortable he's been as a reliever, but the 15th round pick from Mundelein High School in Mundelein, Illinois, is proving his value in that bullpen. And we knew he had value. He's the top lefty in the bullpen. But being able to go out there for another couple innings, huge. Rafael Dolis is still not completely right. As seen by the pitch he gave Xander Bogaerts that Xander hammered. Just scraped the green monster, but it got out. I mean, it was a similar situation to what he had with JD Martinez, and he struck out JD Martinez with a fastball down the pipe. But, you know, it's it's been tough watching Dolly struggle with his location to start the season. Again, you know, he did walk Christian Vasquez during that inning, which was compounded by the error made by Kevin Biggio. But he got the ground ball he needed, and that's a big draw, getting the ground balls. So the free agent signing got the job done. And then in the ninth, Tim Meza came out, but that error was huge because it meant Meza was going to have to come back around and face the top of the lineup. And the 12th round pick out of Millersville in Pennsylvania, I mean, I've been thrilled seeing him come back, but he wasn't able to keep Christian Arroyo off the bases. JD Martinez came up, and Charlie Montoyo went to the bullpen one more time to bring out Anthony Castro. And Castro was his usual strong self, got the ground out, ended it. And it was a strong caterpillar-like performance from this bullpen. Just everyone trying to move the sticks, trying not to stumble, trying to get the team where it wanted to go. And Montoyo said after the game he didn't really want to use Castro, but Castro also only needed two pitches. So he's probably fine to go again. But the important thing is, on a night when Toronto knew it needed multiple arms to be working in unison to get the job done, they got the job done. And, you know, for a team that's already used 10 different guys to start games this season, having your bullpen work in unison like that is very key, especially with the off day coming up on Thursday. It means all those guys get an extra day of rest. They can come back for the series opener against Tampa Bay and be ready to go, essentially. Now, do we want to keep this trend up? Absolutely not. Rafael Dolis has already appeared in 9 of Toronto's 18 games. Ryan Borecki, David Phelps, Tim Meza have already appeared in 7. Yeah, they're keeping the outing short, but eventually it's going to start wearing on these guys. And you need to start getting some innings from guys not named Hyunjin Ryu or Steven Matz. And maybe Robbie Ray coming back will help with that, but 6 walks a game will not. So they're going to need to find some innings. And I don't know, maybe Tanner Roark can get himself right out of the bullpen. Obviously, he'll be available on Friday. You know, I don't know if Anthony Kay is going to be a solution given the way he's thrown so far this season. Maybe it's time to take a look at Alek Manoah. I don't know. But while games like this are nice, they can't be relied upon every time. Because while sometimes a caterpillar moves the way it's supposed to, other times a set of legs does not cooperate and the thing falls on his face. I'd rather not see that happen to this team. Just my opinion. If you want my opinion on sports betting, you should check out betonline.ag because they have better opinions than I do. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, be it NBA, MLB, NHL, what kind of penalties the Dirty Dozen that tried to form that European Super League are going to face, because ha ha ha. Oh my god, that was so funny how quickly it fell apart. But we must never forget their greed. You can bet on the Oscars coming up. You can bet on reality TV. Almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered with all the news, scores, and odds you need to make your best wager. It's free to sign up. You go to the website, and when you make your first deposit, you can receive a 50% welcome bonus by using the promo code LOCKEDON. So check out betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And this final segment is brought to you by the ultimate mock draft for 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring an app. Yeah. It's happening right now. That's why I couldn't talk. I'm so excited. Featuring analysts from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason Lacanfora, and Brian Baldinger, local experts for every team are making trades and picking the next stars for their squad. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. So, I've talked about the hitting, I've talked about the pitching, I mentioned Kevin Biggio's throws make me cower under my desk. What left is there to mention from tonight? How about the guy who actually saw a problem and did something to try and fix it? A guy who knew he had an offense that was being incredibly stagnant and had a guy at the top who was providing nothing, and decided to fix that problem. A guy who needed to know exactly what levers to pull with that pitching staff to try and get them through this game to the off day and hopefully allow them to reset ahead of the key series with Tampa Bay. Yeah, I'm going to give Charlie Montoyo the credit on this one. Charlie Montoyo went out, devised a new lineup that paid dividends with the way they were able to chain things together. I said before on his program, I didn't know why Marcus Semien was batting leadoff, because the dude does not get on base right now. And finally he agreed and put Kevin Biggio up there. Granted, Kevin went 0 for 3, but he had 2 walks and scored a run. And then stacking Bo and Vladdy up there meant that, you know, Garrett Richards could not get comfortable from the get-go against those kinds of hitters. I mean, was he perfect today? No. Rowdy Tellez in the cleanup spot did not work, and that's why Alejandro Kirk came in as a pinch hitter for Rowdy Tellez. But it seems like batting later in the inning, or later in the game, might have been a boon to Marcus Semien, helped change his approach. He wasn't as focused on getting on base, he was focused on just doing what he needed to do to succeed. And a 2-for-4 game is a solid start. Can he keep it up? We'll see. Even Lourdes Gurriel went 1-for-4 today, which, that's a hit out of him. That's better than he's been doing. So we'll have to see how he keeps going with that. And, again, monitoring his pitchers and knowing what time he needed to pull them out. Granted, the Red Sox have a very static lineup, so it's very easy to be able to game plan for them and kind of line your guys up the way you want to. And, you know, he used his guys the way he wanted to. He went righty, lefty the whole night through. Just trying to match up against that Red Sox lineup. And, you know, it kept them off balance for the most part. Yeah, they were able to get some extra base hits, but there wasn't that fatal blow that let Boston retake control of the game. And as much as I felt like I was hanging on a wire watching that game, in the end, the choices made got Toronto where they needed to go. Am I happy they're under 500? No. But they also have a crap ton of injuries to deal with, so gotta make the best of the circumstances. Also, that series against Kansas City's kind of looking better the way Kansas City's been playing. They walked off Tampa Bay last night, again, because Sal Perez just is Mr. Clutch, apparently. But considering all the things that have been wrong, and you know, they're still not great. You take out that Angels win, they're a -4 team. But it looks like they have something to build on heading into that series with Tampa. And how they approach that will speak volumes of how quickly they can pull themselves together, especially if George Springer is supposed to make an appearance in this series. Because if he does, like I said, it'll take him a little bit of time, but he can definitely help pull this team out of a rut. So we'll see what happens. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you don't miss out on my thoughts on what's going to happen with this team. You can subscribe on Stitcher, Spotify, the Odyssey app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts, you can subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. You can follow the podcast on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Jays. All the links are usually posted on Twitter. And you can follow me on there at @A_J_Andrews. The underscores are there because Twitter is dumb. It's very dumb. So, until next time, for everyone at the Locked On Podcast Network and everyone at JaysFromTheCouch.com, I'm AJ Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And y'all take care.